Hey, this is Austin Eckler, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Tuesday, October 4th. I almost said a different date. I'm right. It's October 4th.
We'll never know.
That is correct.
Thank you, computer.
You already making Halloween plans, gentlemen?
We got to come up with our costumes, fellas.
We do.
I know what Allen Robinson can go as.
Oh, a ghost! Goodness gracious.
I mean, I don't want to start the show the way I ended it yesterday, but I will. I fully recognize he could also dress up as burnt toast because his career's over. But this one was ridiculous. It has been ridiculous in Los Angeles. They are not a good offense right now. They can't get the ball down the field. I didn't think Odell Beckham was that important to this offense, or Robert Woods was, but Here's what I want. I want, when the play begins, I want Matthew Stafford to look to the side of the field that Allen Robinson is attempting to run a route on. So
Allen Robinson is stacked with Cooper Kupp then? Then he can look that way?
Those plays, yeah, he does look that direction, but it's just been frustrating. And you've seen, like, you know, Marcus Spears and Robert Griffin and all these other people on Twitter complaining about it. Now, I don't know if Allen Robinson is open on many of these routes, but I certainly know that Matthew Stafford has no idea either because it's just he's out there on it's compounded.
I think he knows.
It's compounded by the fact that he's out there on every single snap of the game. So when you watch him, you see him every single play, and you hope. Every play is a new hope.
Sure.
It's a new beginning. You're like, this is the one that he'll look at. And the only way that you know he'll get a look is if he's inside the 10-yard line. Because I think he's had a red zone target every single game. If they get inside the 10, they try a fade, it fails, and then they move on to Cooper Kupp and his, 14 catches last night or something?
I think Stafford knows. Like, over the course of training camp and over the course of the preseason and everything, Stafford probably just recognized this is not going to work. I need to throw to somebody else.
What is the status of Van Jefferson? Because it seems like he'll have a role to play when he gets back.
Yeah, $46 million for nothing.
That's where it's interesting to me.
This is the whole compelling argument and point of Robinson to begin with. Sean McVay invested $46 million in Allen Robinson.
Is you... I have said... Where you are currently sitting, because that was me last year with Allen Robinson. He was on my team. I was very invested in what is going on with Allen Robinson and just watching going, I'm not sure that he's good anymore. And the fact that he was able to take what he did last year.
Oh, man.
Trick an NFL team. Like, it's fantasy football players. It's rough that we missed on Allen Robinson, the hopes of being on this offense. We aren't the Rams.
Do you know what it cost you to draft Allen Robinson in your draft?
Exactly.
Nothing.
We are not professional NFL scouts. We are guys who live in the basement of our parents and play fantasy football, and the Rams got it incredibly wrong.
That is correct. Yeah.
Take solace in that. If you drafted Allen Robinson, just remember, the Rams are paying him millions and millions and millions and millions
and
of dollars.
This is why I do lay it at the feet of Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford to a degree. Allen Robinson might be completely toast, but Allen Robinson has historically been one of the lowest percentage separators in the National Football League for his entire career. He was never a separator. He was a contested catch. Throw him the ball and see what happens. I just wanted to see what happens to happen.
But why would you see what happens when Cooper Kupp is open on single play?
But the argument against that now is, yes, you're right. He can soak up a bunch of targets, but they are not explosive plays.
I agree.
They have lost two of their games so far. Their offense, he forced it to Cooper Kupp and threw a pick six last night. It's just not working, so it's frustrating. But
they also cannot run the ball.
Yeah,
correct.
Odell Beckham
can not run the ball.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham is not their loss that really matters to me. It's Andrew Whitworth and the offensive line struggles, not able to run the ball. I think that's part of why you snap and you look for Cooper Kupp, who you know is going to be open, even though it's an inefficient play. You know, it wasn't even 10 yards of reception. Their offensive line has problems, and it's okay. Yes. When you play against a mediocre defense, they can scheme away. But the 49ers defense, we went into this game
seven sacks.
Exactly. It was like they looked like a great defense, but they've played mediocre NFL teams. Now we're going to see, are they a good defense? And their pass rush against a really depleted Rams offensive line, hoo-ha.
How are they going to do against Baker next week?
I think it's going to be really not fun to watch Baker Mayfield try and play football.
I think Matt Rhule's career ends next week.
Okay.
I think it
possible.
Should.
Possible.
I don't think it will.
Well, it should have ended earlier.
Yes.
So Monday Night Football, Deebo Samuel, we had been saying pick him up because the day was coming that you were going to get vintage Deebo. He gave it to you, a 57-yard touchdown where he broke tackles and bounced off of people and made Jalen Ramsey look stupid.
He just made the Rams look like a bunch of clowns.
Jeff Wilson
play was
great. 18 for 74, had a 32-yard touchdown.
Is Jeff.
George Kittle.
Uh-oh.
2 for 24.
Uh-oh.
It's not good.
Uh-oh.
I mean, this is why Kyle Pitts is just such a better option at tight end. No, I mean, he has not been targeted a lot, and you don't know if this is coming back from injury. Jimmy Garoppolo was not the starter 2 weeks ago. He had a touchdown called back, so you were close, but no cigar.
Yeah, I mean, he was, I believe, only blocking 11% of the time, so it wasn't an issue there. It was just the targets weren't going his way.
On the Rams side, it was the Cooper Kupp show, 14 for 122 in the loss. Tyler Higbee,
yeah,
is
baby,
a PPR monster right now. I think this is, from what I was watching last night and early this season, when going gets tough in the pocket, it's Tyler Higbee right now. It's I'm backpedaling and Higbee is running routes to save me, being Matthew Stafford, from disaster, and it's working. So 10 for 73 on 14 targets. I mean, 14 targets for him, 19 for Cooper Kupp.
To me, it's Stafford was going to have two options, and the process of the options really being Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson, I still think that over the offseason with the information we had, that was the sound process. It is incorrect now, and it's Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee until, when Van Jefferson comes back, that could shake things up a little bit. That could affect where the target share is going. But until there's another good option for this team, Higbee is going to be a very safe yardage play. And if Matt Stafford was not incompetent on two throws, Tyler Higbee would have had at least one touchdown.
Who has more targets on the season, TJ Hockenson or Tyler Higbee?
Oh, it's got to be Higbee.
It is Higbee. How about Mark Andrews?
Probably Higbee.
How about Travis Kelce? Okay. This is another way to say he has the most targets of all tight ends. There is not someone ahead of Tyler Higbee.
Yeah, it's been an interesting season for the Rams in general. A reminder, the Fantasy Footballers will be live on Thursday Night Football this week. We will be covering the Colts-Broncos game, watching, calling the game, reacting with you, answering fantasy questions, potentially screaming at the television.
Whoa. Potentially.
We're going to cry together.
You know that's happening.
We're going to laugh together.
Watching Melvin Gordon fumbles together.
Oh, man.
That's potential.
Yeah. 5 in his last 5 games.
Is it 5? I thought it was 4.
Well, preseason. You got to pile on. When you got a chance to jump on the dog pile,
I like it.
You do whatever it takes.
All right, let's move into the news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Speaking of the Broncos, unfortunately, yesterday it was confirmed Javonte Williams, a torn ACL, LCL, and boy, Jason, why don't you pronounce that word for us?
Posterolateral corner injury. Nailed it. No, this is a significant, significant injury. If you think about, you know, not every ACL injury is the same. J.K. Dobbins was coming back from an injury more akin to this one. J.K. Dobbins got injured over a month earlier than Javonte Williams did this year. And right now we are finally, probably this week, able to trust J.K. Dobbins. We still don't know if he'll ever return to pre-injury status. It'll probably be another year from now. But this coming week is the first time you could plug him into your lineup with any kind of confidence. So fast forward, say it's the same timeline, another month into the season, you're talking about Javonte Williams probably not being a very important highfalutin fantasy option for next year.
Highfalutin? Uh-huh. Like going to upper echelon parties? And
now, is falutin a word, or is that just like you're stretching out the word flute, as in he's like a high-level flute player?
No, it's a word. It's a word.
Falutin?
Highfalutin is a single word.
Yes,
it
is.
It's not two words.
Wait.
It's not high space falutin. It's highfalutin.
Mm-hmm. No hyphen?
No hyphen.
Highfalutin.
You've never heard of highfalutin?
I've heard the word, but I always figured people were saying, talking about high-level flute players.
It's incredible. Yes.
No, I mean, the point is Jason, I guess, at one point thought that he was going to be a more pompous draft pick next year, mm-hmm. and now he's decided that might not be the case.
Yeah, well, one of those chest-beating picks of he's going to be so great, and instead it's really going to be deep into next year before we can maybe trust him again. So this is really upsetting because not only do you lose him now, that is devastating. But, you know, we're in a keeper league. Andy, you just traded him in our keeper league to someone. You took Jonathan Taylor away. And
jeez.
And it's like, well, maybe that player's playing for next year. But now that other manager's playing for next year with not that great an asset.
It just introduces the whole world of like you said, the Dobbins situation. They will make sure there's depth. That's step one, right? You have to make sure you have depth in Denver now. You can't just trust that Javonte will carry the load because he's coming off a major injury. So you'll have an offseason signing, probably not Melvin Gordon, somebody else, or a draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be – like the dynasty future of Javonte Williams has become murkier than it ever was before. Russell Wilson also dinged up his shoulder in the loss to the Raiders. Is sore, according to Nathaniel Hackett. We expect him to play on Thursday. Mike McDaniel announced that Tua Tagovailoa will be out this week against the Jets. Teddy Bridgewater will get the start. Jets are 2-2, right?
Yes.
Are they?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And, I mean, there's no way that, like, even if Tua had cleared whatever concussion protocols are now in place. The NFL was changing some things with the NFLPA. I don't know if we got a final on what was happening there. There was no way optically that Tua was playing this weekend. It was just for public pressure, you can't do it.
If the doctors came out and said, "I promise you he is fine," that the doctors would have all been fired.
Yes, so he will not be playing, but
Teddy Bridgewater may throw left-handed in this game.
Oh. Come on now. Oh gosh. But Teddy Bridgewater against the Jets, I mean, that's the timing of that is sensational for the Miami Dolphins. For whatever the terrible circumstances they are in, at least they are playing against the Jets.
I didn't remember to do a almost upset last week, did I?
I thought you did.
I thought you did too.
No,
I don't believe so.
Kyle's shaking his head no. All right.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm saying that because I'm thinking the Jets might win this ballgame.
Wow. Ooh.
Did you remember that Zach Wilson's back?
1-0 Zach Wilson on the year, Mike?
Yeah.
Is that the one that you're
talking
about? He
looked good in the second half.
How many losses has he suffered in his game started this year, Mike?
Okay, sure.
I mean, he's more capable of leading this team than Joe Flacco is.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You were constantly watching that game.
Yes, I was watching it closely. Didn't get off to a hot start, but he hasn't played in a while. And the second half, he looked pretty good.
Well, Breece Hall.
Yeah, he's got a superstar at running back, so that's going to help.
Kenny Pickett's going to start in Pittsburgh.
Good.
Kenny Pittsburgh.
Okay. It's lukewarm. But it's not cold. But it's like, this is not hot. You know, lukewarm. That's what.
No, define it for me.
Highfalutin.
Highfalutin.
23rd in scoring, 25th in touchdowns per game, 30th in yards per play, 25th in first downs. That was the Mitch Trubisky experience through 4 weeks. A lot to be determined on Kenny Pickett's utilization. We've talked about it in years past. When you have a player like George Pickens, and he's getting a lot of reps with the backup quarterback, which is Kenny Pickett, in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's a little colder.
No, I mean, it was like the same joke.
Yeah, because we just did
But it did not heat up.
No.
We'll keep it tepid. We'll keep going.
Get the hand on the oven. Crank it up.
Yeah, we'll keep
Give us a good one.
We'll keep trying. It's going to be hard to have confidence in how things are going to play out. Deontay Johnson, like I said before last week, was on pace for 187 targets. I think he stays in your lineup. George Pickens is a kind of a risky, high risk, high reward play. And Kenny Pickett's really not on fantasy radar, but it'll be fun to watch because Trubisky's not fun to watch.
No.
Cordero Patterson, placed on IR after undergoing a minor procedure on his knee. He will miss at least 4 weeks, which will play a big role in today's waiver episode.
Yes, it will. We are almost to the waivers where we will probably talk a little bit more about Pickens as well.
Okay. We'll be thinking about some jokes.
I'm working on it. It's on the Bunsen burner right now. I'm trying to heat it up.
Yeah.
We need to pause the show. We need to hit the lab and get figure out what is the Kenny Pickett
joke. I can do
joke.
This on the fly. Don't worry about it.
All right. We'll find
Third
out.
Third time's the try.
Kenny Golladay somehow suffered a knee injury on Sunday, and things are not looking good for him to stand on the sideline this week. Kadarius Toney, the hamstring. Wandale, the knee. Golladay, the knee. Sterling Shepard on IR. Colin Johnson on IR.
Goodness gracious.
Daniel Bellinger just hanging around.
I mean, there is going to be great opportunity for whichever wide receiver can heal fastest. I mean, Kadarius Toney and Wandale Robinson, I think that they are the opportunity couldn't be better for them. They just aren't healthy, aren't able to play football right now. But as far as stashes go, I think that they've got a good outlook.
And they're 3-1, right?
Correct, yeah.
And so we just need to remember that this team is willing to give a lot of snaps to Richie James and David Sills. And so we'll see what the opportunity really looks like. Rashad Bateman, midfoot injury. So he was not on the field in the fourth quarter due to this injury. Another player that we'll talk about with the waivers today in case he misses.
Yep.
The Manders, Jahan Dotson, expected to miss 1 to 2 weeks with a hamstring injury. This gives you a little bit more confidence in Samuel and McLaurin.
A little bit.
But not a lot. Brian Robinson, designated to return. I believe that means the team has 3 weeks to activate him.
Yep, yes. 21 days.
Yeah, that does not mean he's for sure playing this week, but we're in the process. And meanwhile, you know, the Manders, they get Tennessee, Chicago, Green Bay, the Colts, Minnesota. I mean, I'm picking Brian Robinson up.
Jonathan Taylor, listed as did not practice. They didn't practice, though, as a team, right? This was a hypothetically didn't practice. We'll find out if he has a chance to play. The report came out yesterday. Nothing serious. Has a chance to play on Thursday night.
I feel like you got to be pretty banged up to not even hypothetically practice. Like if they're just, you know, thinking about it and you're like, man, nope.
If we practiced today, we wouldn't even have him be limited. He couldn't work on the sideline with trainers if we were going to allow
right.
that.
Yeah, I like how they all DNP'd, but he was listed as DNP. But I think it's a possibility he's out there. He's one of the toughest players in football. He had never missed a practice before last week in any level of professional play.
It's I totally get it that if you got Jonathan Taylor, and he's active, you're probably putting him out there. But an ankle injury, man. Mild toe turf.
You do not want
turf, toe turf. He's got that's when stuff is growing on your toe. It's like a fungus.
Tough actin to neck.
I got a big patch of toe turf.
What's wrong with us? I think if you're a Jonathan Taylor manager, and this might sound, you might not think this is true of you, but you don't want him to be active. I really don't think that you want to be forced with the decision to sit an active Jonathan Taylor, even though he will not be full strength against a great defense, and he hasn't been great the last few weeks. To me, I don't want to face that decision of saying, well, I've got to put him in, because I think I won't. I think I would say,
oh, stop.
No, I'm serious.
I mean, Josh Jacobs just had a career week against the same defense. If Jonathan Taylor's playing, he played 88% of snaps last week. He's playing the highest percentage he's ever played. You're going to put him in your lineup. You're not going to pivot to Raheem Mostert on Sunday.
I bet you are right, and I bet that is the wrong decision to make, which is why I'm saying it just heal up. Like, take the extra week and get right.
Jerry Jones said Dak is not ready to come back.
That makes sense. He can't grip a football well.
Mm. One of the big parts of throwing it.
Yep,
it's the grip.
It's the number one step before you can throw.
And the nice thing is they don't really have a reason to rush him back.
Oh, is that a Cooper Rush
joke?
That
was a Cooper Rush joke.
Okay.
Temperature level.
Okay, we're in on that.
Temperature level.
It's better than
all right.
Than Kenny Pittsburgh? All right, fine. Somebody out there in Pittsburgh is going to call him that very soon.
I'm sure they already are.
And I'll get credit for that 5 out of 10. You betcha. That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Welcome to The Fold, presented by Samsung Galaxy.
All right. We're into the waivers. Week 4 is in the books. Bye weeks are on the way. Week 6 is the beginning of bye weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to dive into the wide receiver position and talk about who we're welcoming into the fold this week. The likely rostered players, Romeo Doubs, Robert Woods. We should have had the news in there about Treylon Burks, but Treylon Burks has turf toe, not toe turf. And will be missing an extended period of time, does not need surgery, but might be placed on IR as soon as today and will miss time recovering. So Robert Woods right now is going to be kind of the de facto number one option on a team that has been resurgent in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Phillips, his teammate, rookie wide receiver, who has missed the last couple games with injury as well. He was very good week one. Had a very high level of targets per route run. And if he's worth a stash as well, because we don't know his health, but if he gets to full strength, I think that he will have plenty of opportunity ahead. So Robert Woods, probably rostered. Kyle Phillips, probably not rostered.
And then Doubs looked great. Had several plays where he resembled the Davante Adams of last year where, I don't know, Rodgers is throwing him open. Mm-hmm. Which is something that, you know, you have to trust these receivers, and he's looking pretty good.
There's a really specific screen that they run that just looks like a Davante Adams screen. It's like
when they give him some separation line.
It's so fast, snaps the ball, throws it, and the system. And, yeah, I saw the same thing you did where they ran that a couple times for Doubs, and it was like, oh, I've seen that play.
My biggest
Adams.
Concern with Doubs is that you buy in, you go and you trade for him, you invest in the hope that he's the one for Rodgers, but you've got this simultaneous building of Christian Watson's confidence, who he's getting snaps. Like, this team seems very committed to getting him out there on the field. So I guess I have some concern that, you know, that may diminish the opportunity.
Yeah, very well might. Last week was Christian Watson's first back from the injury, so his snaps should rise. You just hope it comes at the expense of Randall Cobb and not at the expense of Romeo Doubs.
All right, let's turn to the main waiver wire pickups, though, at the wide receiver position. I'd love to know who you have at the tippy top of your list. For me, it was difficult ranking these guys, but George Pickens is my number one pickup.
Okay.
Because you are combining, you know, big playability, rookie potential, new quarterback. The target share last week was 31%. He makes contested catches. I am looking for the home run pickup. I'm not necessarily looking at George Pickens saying, like, you know, is he going to have the best week this next week? I don't know. But Pickens is my number one. I don't know who your guys' number one is.
Pickens is right there. I mean, I think part of this is what you're looking for. Pickens is a great pickup solely because he could become the number one target with the quarterback change, and he is really, really talented. That being said, I still project that Kenny Pickett is good but not great. He's a rookie quarterback. They're just not prolific when it comes to counting stats, when it comes to your yards and your, you know, completions. There's not going to be a huge pie, I don't think, to split up. And Deontay is there. So while the upside is certainly there for Pickens to just, you know, Odell Beckham explode on the scene, and if you want to take the shot, take that. I don't think it's going to happen in a super breakout way. So
probably not the next 4 weeks. Buffalo, Tampa, Miami, and Philly.
Yeah.
Welcome to the NFL. For me, I think it's actually Michael Gallup.
We all have a different number one.
Yeah, Michael Gallup was way more involved than I thought he would be. He came right in off of the injury. They were really slow getting him back, and then they said, "You're up." He played the role. He was a field stretcher. It was involved. I think Noah Brown got a little banged up in this game as well. Going forward, his quarterback situation should improve.
Sure.
And I think that Michael Gallup is a guy who should be able to be started as a flex option pretty much every week the rest of the season with a decent level of confidence. Now, is his ceiling as high as the potential breakout of a rookie sensation? No. But his likely outcome of being a starter that you can get fantasy points from week in and week out, I think, is the highest of this current week's waiver wire.
So Mike's must be Isaiah McKenzie, wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, it is Isaiah McKenzie, slot wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. Jamison Crowder, the veteran they brought in, that like their plan over the offseason was Crowder's going to be our slot wide receiver. He broke his ankle this past week, so he's out for the season. And even before the injury, McKenzie had played his way into a timeshare, which a timeshare as a slot wide receiver is. You see the spike weeks like week three for Isaiah McKenzie, where he was 7 for 76 and the touchdown. But when he's splitting time, you don't really like it. Now, Isaiah McKenzie is in the concussion protocol, so there's a chance that he doesn't even play this week. But the other option for them is Khalil Shakir, fifth round. So a fifth round rookie right now. When you're making your decision between these players, to me, it's the way I'm looking at it is, a fifth-round rookie wide receiver, when McKenzie is healthy, will Shakir really take 50% of the snaps away the way that Jamison Crowder did, or is McKenzie going to trend closer to a full-time player? And that's how I'm projecting it, and that's why I have him as my number one wide receiver pickup.
I love Isaiah McKenzie's talent. If he gets 100% of the snap roll, or, you know, close to it, you know, 80-90%, he's going to be great for fantasy. He would be my number one, except the concussion protocol thing. If he ends up missing this week, I don't know how much the situation could factor in and bleed into other teams where you're just erring on the side of caution of, you know, let's give it another week, not have any of that. And that's probably not going to affect these teams that are trying to just win now and get their players on the field. But it does factor in the back of my mind of like, well, if he misses a week and then you've got 1 week and then the bye week, I just think it's a little risky, and there's no guarantee he comes in and takes over 100% of that slot role.
Sure.
There is the chance that Khalil Shakir comes in and takes the Crowder role. Now, Shakir, those hips don't lie.
I don't know. Where are we?
Yeah, okay. All right.
Wow.
I think I didn't like the delivery.
Yeah, I was going Tupac at first. I completely switched.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So I'm really, you know, we're workshopping a lot of stuff today.
Yeah, live here on the podcast.
But if Isaiah McKenzie,
we don't have writers.
If Isaiah McKenzie misses with a concussion, and Crowder is out, you've got a banged up Kumerow, a banged up Gabe Davis. I think Khalil Shakir,
yes,
is a fine pickup and play. And a really solid DFS play. I don't have any idea what his salary is, but it has to be next to nothing.
Yeah, Pittsburgh allowing the seventh most fantasy points to wide receivers, and Mike Tomlin teams generally, they allow, like, they get beat in the slot. Like, this, maybe they're just picking their poison of where they want to really shut down, and they just let slot wide receivers go. So I agree. That's part of the appeal of McKenzie. Should he get cleared in play, there's so much upside where George Pickens looks like a fantastic player. The target share was incredible. But now you're relying on the rookie quarterback. And for Gallup, I mean, it looks like what Dak's first game back will be Philadelphia. And that's not a great opportunity for any Cowboys. But Detroit and Chicago after that for Dallas. So Gallup is a fine pickup. We all play the game a little bit different.
Yeah, whether these guys are first, second, or third, everyone we've mentioned is a really good waiver wire pickup. It's a good week for wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't think Shakir is going to have a path to being picked up in redraft, personally.
If Isaiah McKenzie is out?
Yeah, if he's out, then
yeah, that's
he could
we're
be
talking
used.
About.
Yeah,
that's the only way that he should be in.
But Devin Duvernay could, he's only 59% rostered. He's a must start this week if Rashad Bateman was to miss. He's
agreed.
Also not a bad start anyways. I mean, he's getting targets every single week.
He's their clear wide receiver too.
1B.
Okay, well, sure. I'm just I'm saying that like
that was just a shot at Bateman, who hasn't been able to perform in the past couple weeks. Wandale Robinson, we mentioned the Giant situation. He's the one to pick up, in my opinion. This regime, they brought him in. They were using him. He got hurt. But I think he's got the best chance of volume in this offense. Rondale Moore, I mean, I haven't seen anything that makes me think Rondale Moore is start worthy. He's, you know, there's all this offseason talk. They're going to finally use him down the field. They tried that one time. He didn't even know where he was on the field. He landed out of bounds. Every other target was behind the line of scrimmage. Same old targeting of Rondale Moore. It was depressing. And you got a clock counting down to the return of, like, they just brought Antoine Wesley back this week. You are integrating Trey McBride, and you're getting DeAndre Hopkins back. You're always going to start Hollywood before Rondale Moore. I don't see the path.
One of the things that was interesting to me looking at kind of the numbers behind the scenes was that Rondale played a surprising amount on the outside in the A.J. Green role, which I think Rondale, we've been excited to have him come in and play the slot role that Greg Dortch was really playing. And so if, you know, Antoine Wesley comes back, I assume he'll be playing the A.J. Green role until A.J. Green comes back, and hopefully long after. But that is my path of hope in Rondale, is that if they put him in the full-time Greg Dortch role, maybe he can get the targets Dortch was seeing.
Yeah, Dortch only on the field 36% of the time last week. Drop candidates, Allen Robinson.
Yep.
For some of these names, yeah, I mean, I'm not auto-dropping him, but I would absolutely rather have Gallup, Pickens, McKenzie.
Claypool?
Yes.
See you later.
No, he's a drop.
Jarvis Landry?
Yeah. I mean, he's one of those where you don't have to drop him, but I would drop him for any of the names we talked about today.
I'm guessing that Jameis will be back this week. No pun intended on the back injury, but he seemed like he was close-ish, just not enough to start this week. And he's got a good matchup, and we got to see. Yeah, he's playing against the Seattle Seahawks, who that's a delightful matchup for quarterbacks right now. And what's the status of Michael Thomas? Just don't know yet.
Julio Jones.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He was out there and ineffective, and I don't think you want to play the game every week.
I agree.
Week.
DJ Moore.
No.
Oh, man.
He had 11 targets.
Yeah. I would drop DJ Moore for Gallup, Duvernay, McKenzie, Pickens.
I'd rather have Gallup than DJ Moore, but I think that's the
this. You've got Baker. That's what you're stuck with. And if they pivot off of Baker, you're stuck with Darnold. So DJ Moore's not a must drop. He's just a Look, you're trying to get wins in fantasy.
Yeah.
So who's going to help you the most? And I think you just have to make that call. And then Treylon Burks, what do you do with him? Because he's not been moved to IR yet in leagues. People are making waiver claims today.
If he hasn't been moved to IR and you can't or you don't have an IR spot in your league, you have to drop him. He's going to miss too much time to have clogging up a roster spot. He hadn't even done anything yet other than look good, like pass the eyeball test, but he hasn't done anything for fantasy yet. Coming off of the injury, you can't wait another month clogging a roster spot. No, he's gone.
All right. In a minute, we're going to dive into what running backs we should welcome to the fold right after this break. All right, the ever-important, difficult-to-find running back position, waiver wire day. There are some really interesting names that look like some fab will get spent.
Yes.
But I think that they're worth discussing because...
Because it's all a trap.
It's probably... I think that there are a couple situations that I don't think are an instant trap, to put it that way. What's difficult is there are situations like Nyheim Hines, right? He's 66% rostered. He's going to be available in a lot of leagues. And you don't know and won't know today whether Jonathan Taylor's out, I presume. I mean, it's possible they come out and say he's just out. But if you don't know, it's hard to sit here and say, hey, go spend all your fab on Nyheim Hines playing against Denver, where they won't just exclusively use him, and the offense has been trash. It's like we're sitting here saying Jonathan Taylor's been bad. Well, the offensive line...
So certainly the backup will have
success. Right, that's the hard part. So like,
it doesn't usually work for others.
So you get into that position.
Philip Lindsay will have tremendous success this week.
So really, when I look at Hines, I don't know if you're the Jonathan Taylor manager, there's an added incentive to roster Nyheim Hines because of re-injury risk, having somebody that you can start. But I just don't know if I'd spend up on him versus somebody like, let's throw Raheem Mostert out there, who's getting the majority of the work in Miami.
Would rather have Mostert.
So,
by a lot.
And you get a longer-term value there in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. So Nyheim Hines is not more than like a 10% of my fab. And I won't get him because of that, because everyone else will rush to him.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably rostered in the majority of leagues, but wherever he is, people will spend up on him, and I doubt he pays off on that value. And, of course, even if Jonathan Taylor does miss and we go, okay, well, we're not sure it's a great matchup and the offense hasn't been good, well, Jonathan Taylor's coming back. You know, they said it's not serious. There's a question as to whether he plays this week, so I'd imagine the following Sunday, he's back. And so there's a very temporary uptick for Nyheim Hines. I would not break the bank at all. I agree with you.
And Brian Robinson was drafted and stashed in a lot of leagues. And so they put him on the they can bring him up from injured reserve, the non-football injury list, over the next 3 weeks. How much are you investing, Mike? Would you blow a number one waiver spot on Brian Robinson? And would you? How much fab would you actually spend knowing that you could still be a couple weeks away?
I wouldn't burn a top priority. And what I like about Robinson is I think that the main waiver competition is going to be these other guys we're going to get into. Like because Robinson is still a stash. You don't like we're being told he's close to return. I have no idea. Like, that could be 3 weeks. Like, they could take the entire 21-day limit that they have to finally call him up. And even then, you don't even know how much work he's going to get. So this is just if your team is looking good, you don't want to break the bank because these running backs are, like, the Denver situation, the Atlanta situation, they aren't clear. There's some value to extract, but it's not clear who you should go after. So I think if you're looking good with your team, you just kind of put a low fab bid on Robinson to be prepared for a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, I personally don't see the same upside. Let's say he's fully healthy, and he's been healthy all year, but now he's just magically allowed to play football. He's still not on a great team. Splitting time, not going to be the pass-catching back, you know, when you've got J.D. McKissic there. And it's not like he's just – like, let's say you just replace Antonio Gibson with Brian Robinson. And they say, hey, Antonio Gibson, you now are the water boy. You don't get to play football. We weren't excited to play Antonio Gibson. So are we saying he's just that much better of a football player? But then they're not actually making him the water boy. Antonio Gibson will get work. So
they might.
Sure. But my point is, he's going to be involved. So this is a three-way committee. I just don't see the upside of opportunity, even though I fully admit the Manders really like the player. I mean, they spent a third-round pick, and usually, historically, that kind of draft capital on a running back, especially an Alabama running back, does pay off. But I just don't see the I don't see the league-winning upside with the Brian Robinson.
The upside to me is Brian Robinson's second game back. Sunday morning, we all wake up, and it doot-doot-doot-doot. Antonio Gibson is a healthy scratch today.
Oh, man, water
like,
boy.
That is not outside. Like that's not a non-zero chance to me.
And at running back, you don't have to talk about exclusively league-winning upside for value to pick them up. Like, we have major needs in terms of start-worthy running backs. We're about to talk about Caleb Huntley of the Atlanta Falcons. So I think you're just looking at start-worthy player at some point, hopefully over 50% of the snaps at some point, and goal line. And that's where bad Washington teams still provided 10-plus touchdowns to Antonio Gibson at one point in time. So I think that's my hope, is that in 3-4 weeks, you're like, hey, I can start that guy, which is saying something at running back. So let's talk about Atlanta, and then we'll talk about Denver. Atlanta has Tyler Allgeier and Caleb Huntley. The surprise of putting Patterson on IR leads to a clear path for a run-heavy team. Caleb Huntley was the slightly better player in terms of fantasy output last week than Tyler Allgeier. They were both double digits. Allgeier is the fifth round pick, went 10 for 84. Caleb Huntley was 10 for 56 and scored off the practice squad. So I think Allgeier will and deserves more of the attention on the waiver wire, but I'm not certain that you don't have a kind of, you know, pretty much 50-50 timeshare with a lot of run opportunities for this tandem, but you got Tampa this week.
I think you have a very split timeshare. I agree with that. It's not going to be the Tyler Allgeier show. Caleb Huntley will be involved, but Tyler Allgeier is certainly the player you want. He was more effective. You know, they both got 10 carries. He had about 30 more yards. He had a nice big breakaway run. I liked, you know, I think we all kind of like Tyler Allgeier's college tape. So this isn't a player coming out of nowhere. But the main thing is, one of these guys was running routes and one of these guys was not. Caleb Huntley was not involved at all in the passing game whatsoever. And even though Tyler Allgeier only had one target, and I don't expect a heavy passing volume from Marcus Mariota to the running back position, when you're talking about negative game scripts, which will happen more than just this breakdown we saw last week where Atlanta won the game, I think Allgeier will be far more valuable than Caleb Huntley. So I would be going much more after Allgeier. That being said, this is temporary. It's a month-long IR.
It's shorter than that.
And Tampa Bay, San Francisco, for at least those are the next 2 weeks. So that's half of the month-long stint for Cordarrelle Patterson on IR. I'm not starting Tyler Allgeier next week.
If you're not starting him next week,
it might be even shorter, because Damian Williams, who was the starting running back for this team in week one, he went on to IR after that game with the rib injury. So that would make him eligible next week to come back. Like,
Is this a trap?
That's what I'm saying. This situation is not clear. That if you need a spot start of some volume, Arthur Smith will go high T and try and establish it. It probably won't work.
Yeah, it's because he's seen Marcus Mariota before.
It probably won't work. Tyler Allgeier is the play, but I'm not breaking the bank for him going, we got 4 weeks here of Tyler Allgeier, because I think there is a decent probability that Damian Williams comes back and is the number one running back of his team.
Would you rather have the 72% of snaps Raheem Mostert over Allgeier and Huntley?
Yes.
Because you'll get him cheaper.
I was going to say, for what it's going to cost you, it's the better play, because I don't think people are scrambling to get Mostert the way that they're going to scramble to get Allgeier. And, yeah, I think Mostert is more valuable.
Atlanta is 8.5-point dogs right now against Tampa
Bay. I'll be putting in claims on Tyler Allgeier. I will. And, honestly, if I've got enough, if it's a larger bench, Damian Williams might be someone you should be picking up as well.
Mike Boone for the Denver Broncos. Yeah, obviously, Melvin Gordon, if he's out there, is going to be the starter, but you're going to have a committee. Mike Boone played more snaps than Gordon last week. Part of that could have been directly a result of Gordon's fumble.
Or Gordon also had an injury, a neck? I think he had a neck problem coming into the
game. He does have a neck.
Wow, yes.
But he has an injured
he's
neck.
He's got a problem with it.
And then Latavius Murray was just snatched off the Saints practice squad.
It's so
the
funny.
Saints were dumb here.
Mm-hmm.
Latavius looked great, got into a rhythm last week, and now gets to fly to Denver because the Broncos pounced on him and... You know, you're looking at this situation saying, do I want to sign and play Mike Boone? I don't really want to do that.
He went from being potentially the number one waiver pickup to being potentially unrosterable with the Latavius Murray signing. This is a guy who has had pass protection problem, dropped two game-killing passes last week, and then they go out and they pick up Latavius Murray, who is a good veteran. He's a fine enough pass catcher. He's a good pass protector. You know what else he doesn't do? Fumble.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think this was a really smart pickup. You know, when you're talking about you don't have a lot of options out there this time of the year to just go find a running back on the waivers, and they signed him off of the practice squad. Latavius Murray, I would pick up before Mike Boone for sure.
And when you sign him off the practice squad, are they stuck on the starting roster the rest of the year?
Yes.
Yes.
So he'll be up. I would still sign Gordon over Murray.
I totally agree.
And over Boone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, you don't know how much was a little bit of an injury situation. You've seen him used as a workhorse in the past.
He's more talented than these guys. If Gordon is out on your waivers, he's probably not worth checking, though. If he was for some reason dropped, I would go hard after Melvin Gordon.
Isaiah Pacheco,
he needs to be added.
Chiefs running back.
We're bouncing all over the place with the Kansas City Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the only consistent right now. It looked like it was going to be McKinnon. I mean, he was evening up the snaps with Clyde, but if it's one week at a time right now, and if last week is any indication, it looks like it's going to be Clyde and Pacheco. So he should be picked up. I don't know if we're at anything other than just stashing him and watching right
That's
now.
That's what he is. He's just a stash, but he is getting more and more involved, and his talent might be the best of the three backs there.
Would you drop Chase Edmonds to pick up Raheem Mostert off the waiver wire?
Yes.
Yeah, I would rather have I would rather have Mostert than Edmonds. Yeah, but.
Would you drop Daryl Henderson to pick up Raheem Mostert, Tyler Allgeier?
Mostert, yes.
Naeem Hines.
Hines.
Daryl Henderson feels like a player you're holding and hoping that
he really does.
He gets, like, you know, not hoping, but in the event of a Cam Akers injury or demotion, you have a player. Yeah. But right now you can't play him.
No, I agree with that. That's why I was so hesitant of he could turn into something, but as of right now, you can't play him.
If Daryl Henderson were on the waivers, though, we would be making claims on him to pick him up. That's the running back landscape. When you said, would I drop
but
Chase
not
Edmonds?
To play him, though.
For, no, not to play him, but would I drop Chase Edmonds for Raheem Mostert? I would rather have Mostert. But I don't want, like, if this was my roster, I'm probably not dropping Chase Edmonds to pick him up. I'm probably dropping I would rather drop a Michael Gallup level wide receiver that I like than.
Yeah, this is not, we're not recommending that. I mean, this is not like go through and purge your roster. This is, would you sign this player in lieu of this player?
Yes.
Travis Etienne.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean,
work pony extraordinaire.
Work pony, I like it. I still would not drop Travis Etienne.
Edmonds or Etienne on your roster as a stash?
Etienne.
Michael Carter, you want to boot him?
No, you can't boot him just yet. I mean, he's the same He's not a starter anymore, but he's still an insurance running back that if Breece Hall misses time, Michael Carter will be featured on Tuesday's show.
A good barometer check here. I said I would not drop DJ Moore. Like that's a guy I'm not dropping. He has so many targets, 11 targets this last week, 6 each of the first 3 weeks. But if I had to make a decision between DJ Moore or these running backs, the Chase Edmonds, the Travis Etienne's, just because of the running back landscape, I'd rather fill my bench with these running backs. You can pick up a wide receiver almost any week and find a start Sunday morning. You just cannot do that with running backs. So, honestly, I'm not dropping any of those running backs. I'm just dropping more wide receivers to pick up more running backs.
Tight ends, let's welcome some into the fold. Main waiver wire pickups this week. If Njoku is out there, grab him. 2 strong weeks, 65% rostered. He is a must-start tight end at this point with this landscape.
I could not believe that he is still available in a third of active leagues. That is mind-blowing after his weak performance 2 weeks ago. He was great. He would be just about my number one pickup of all of these guys. If I need
strong
a tight end.
Strong performance, right?
Yes. If I needed a tight end, which lots of teams do, I would take him above all of these running backs and wide receivers.
Robert Tonyan scored last week. 40% rostered, cursory at it, tight end. Yep. Hayden Hurst, Tyler Conklin.
Conklin, he was involved still with, we wanted to see what his involvement would be with the changeover to Zach Wilson. Conk, he's better than a lot of rostered tight ends.
He is,
right
but
now.
Again, it's the what I was concerned about with Conklin is just his piece of the pie was not tremendous. Like he's not getting Tyler Higbee target percentage. So if the pie were to go down into the dryer, then Tyler Conklin's targets would go down, and it did. It dropped down to 5. So he ended up with 52 yards, so that's pretty nice. But 3 for 3 catches is...
I'd have him over Irv Smith. I'd rather have him than Irv Smith. Irv Smith, 2 for 32, 3 for 23 the last 2 weeks. You're getting into the zone of, like, hopefully they score. Otherwise, they're disappointing you.
Njoku's the priority, and then Big Bob Tonyan is the other one I want.
Dalton Schultz, are you willing to cut him for either of those two names?
No.
George Kittle?
No.
Obviously
no,
not.
No.
Irv Smith, I would, though, for those. Defensive options this week. Lay it out for me, Jason.
So the first name to bring up sounds ridiculous. It's the Buffalo Bills. And you're like, what? The Bills aren't. But they played Baltimore. And 20% of leagues dropped the Bills because, you know, you don't always want to roster two defenses. If they are available, you absolutely must go hard after them because they're an every week start no matter the matchup. Their defense, I think, is going to be great.
They're really beaten up, though.
Yes, they are.
I think you're going to see them give up more points.
Sure.
They're not available in our league, so who are you picking up then?
If they're not available, the Jacksonville Jaguars defense has been really good. This last week was tough against Philadelphia Eagles, but they've been getting after the quarterback, tons of sacks, and they play against Houston. So that would be the number one that I'm looking at.
And I would say the Miami Dolphins. I know that you're saying that Zach Wilson won, which is accurate, but he completed 50% of his passes and turned the ball over twice, got sacked once.
Oh, Miami's a great start. Yeah. Tennessee plays Washington and Carson Wentz, and their defense has been playing better. And Kansas City plays the Raiders as well. That was Welcome to the Fold, presented by Samsung Galaxy with Galaxy Z Fold 4. Unfold an immersive screen to watch games in full detail and maximize your viewing experience on the go. Visit Samsung.com to learn more.
Full stream ahead.
All right, streaming quarterback options for this week on the waiver wire. I'm going with Jameis.
I love it.
Jameis Winston, if he's back, he plays Seattle.
That part, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, if his back is back.
If he's not playing, I don't love it.
Yes, less fantasy upside. Seattle allowing the highest yards per attempt in the league. That's who the Saints play this week. And 42% of pass attempts against Seattle have been a first down. He has Chris Olave, who is a weapon downfield. Might get Michael Thomas back. Might get Alvin Kamara back. And then Jarvis Landry is going to be back out there.
I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence. He had a down week in Philadelphia in the rain. It was a bad game where even though the Jags looked pretty good, they were in the game for the majority of it. 4 fumbles lost, 1 interception, really bad game for Trevor Lawrence. But he was a quarterback 1 the previous 2 weeks. He plays against Houston. He's at home. I think Trevor Lawrence, with this new offense, new coaching staff, new weapons, is he's going to be pretty good. And I'll throw out that the following week he plays in Indiana. He plays against the Colts in Indianapolis. And if you're a Jalen Hurts manager, a Jared Goff, if you've been rolling with him, bye weeks are going to start. So you might want to look 2 weeks deep if you've got some of those players.
And I'm going to ride the Lightning with Carson Wentz. The Manders.
What?
The Manders are at home, and Tennessee, 3 of their 4 weeks, they have given up top 12 production to the quarterback position.
Guessing it wasn't last week against Matt Ryan.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. Guessing when they did, but Carson Wentz at home against that defense, I think that he will be able to be stream worthy.
Would you play Jared Goff over all three of those names based on the fact that
Matt Ryan was the QB 12?
Oh, he had the Moale Cox
two touchdowns
combo.
Yeah, baby.
He looks so bad. Jared Goff, though, would you stay in the flames with Jared Goff and play him over Winston, Lawrence, and Wentz? I think I would, even though it's New England. Jared Goff and this, like you said, perfect scenario. Worst defense, best offense.
I don't hate playing Jared Goff, but I would not play if I had the choice between Trevor Lawrence against Houston or Jared Goff on the road against New England, I would take Trevor Lawrence.
QB5, Jared Goff.
Oh, he's been great. Yeah. And I love the fact that the offense is good and the defense is bad. But I would prefer him in a dome, and I would prefer him not against the Patriots. Give me, if he was playing Seattle, heck yeah.
I mean, if Amon-Ra's back, I'm good playing Goff.
All right. Anything else to cover? Any news updates, Kyle?
It's nothing right now.
There is one bit of news. You're back with the Atlanta cap.
We're going to clinch the division today. That's
why. Oh, we. The Red Sox or the Braves?
Come on. I'm from Atlanta.
I know.
I understand that. But
we're just not happy about your...
It's so weird.
The Sox.
It's not
Sox
a different sport.
Yeah, it's just like if you showed up, would you ever go to a game in Atlanta with that hat on?
With the Red Sox hat?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Coward. Show your allegiance to your favorite team.
I can't even do it. Like, there are teams, like, I've thought about this. I have a bunch of hats, and I like browsing for new hats. And there are some teams that have cool logos and stuff.
It's
in the constitution of fandom. Like, I'm not allowed to buy those hats.
Which is great.
Because I have children, and I need to teach them in the way that they should go.
I can wear any baseball hat I want.
Right.
Because I don't care.
That's right. I would just
say, wouldn't even know it's a baseball.
What
hat.
Is this logo? I like it or I don't like it. The only other thing I'll point
I like
out
before, socks.
Before you push the button, I think we skipped over Rashad White, and it's worth knowing.
Sure.
He's only 38% rostered. He was much more involved than usually. Played 38% of snaps, and they were rotating entire drives. That's what was really exciting about it. Is that they
Tampa
used
Bay.
Yes, Tampa Bay rookie running back. They used him as essentially for the drive that they rotated as an every down back. So he was in on the pass catching downs and the short yardage. Should Leonard Fournette go down to injury, which obviously he's built for a workload and might never go down.
He also misses games.
Rashad White will be dominant for fantasy given that opportunity.
That is going to conclude today's episode of the show. Check out our community at jointhefoot.com. Lots of new tools over there.
See you next time. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.